Hi folks, welcome to the Money 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 podcast. I'm Surabhi Upadhyay and we come to you every week with some very interesting conversations to help you get your personal finances in order and get smart with your money.
This is our final personal finance date for the year 2019. What a year it's been. So many learnings, roller coaster in the market, whether you're looking at equity or fixed income, change in regulation, and more choice for investors, more learnings, and learnings are never a bad thing. To look at everything that's happened in the last 12 months, and more importantly, to look forward into what 2020 might have in store for your wealth, my wealth, and all our well-being, I have two special guests joining me on this edition of the show. Mr. N.S. Venkatesh, Chief Executive of AMFI, the Association of Mutual Funds of India, the industry body, as well as Nimish Shah, Head Investments at BNP Paribas Wealth Management. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for joining us in the studios today. Season's greetings to you. We are wrapping up what's been, you know, a year packed with news. So we've had enough headlines, but I want to get your thoughts on what comes to mind when you look at throwback 2019. Mr. Venkatesh?
I would say yes. I really agree with you that it has been a real tumultuous year, in the sense that lots of regulatory changes have happened. Especially on the mutual fund industry, if you look at it, most of the regulatory changes have happened on the risk management side because of the little bit of defaults which we saw in the debt, some of the debt mutual funds. In addition to that, these are all regulatory changes which are there for protecting the investors' interest. So to that much extent, there has been a very, very proactive step being taken by the regulator. In addition to that, the cost reduction, the TER reduction, which is much more beneficial to the ultimate end investor, that has happened. So I would say that it has been a really good thing. The TER reduction is one thing which was thrown up. The second thing was relating to the risk management, where essentially in the debt mutual funds, they sort of tweaked the sectoral norms, the industry norms, those sort of things where they could invest. Then the third thing on the very, very liquid sort of money market instruments, where the liquid mutual funds, where they said that maybe you need to have more liquid money kept in the liquid funds. At least around 20% of the money should be kept in liquid funds, especially the T-bills, the Government of India securities, and cash, so that it ensures that in case of some large-scale redemptions happening, the fund doesn't get into serious liquidity issues. They are able to manage that liquidity very well. But having said that, I would say that the mutual fund industry managed the liquidity crisis which erupted in the NBFC sector very well. So they didn't have any major liquidity issues at all, touch wood, I would say.
I'm going to actually come back to some of these points and ask you if it's all safe just yet or not. Let me also get Nimish's opening views here. 2019, what comes to mind, Nimish?
It has been quite a volatile year, both in terms of fixed income and equity. And we are actually kind of, you know, at a stage where, you know, investors are actually kind of confused in terms of which asset class to really kind of look at. Having said that, you know, the overall, you know, financialization which has happened in the industry, apart from that, the transparency which has come in, the implementation of GST, all that has actually impacted, and we are seeing, you know, the economy being faced with slow growth prospects, not only for 2019, but probably going into 2020 also. So, you know, it has been quite a challenging year for investors, where returns on both equity and fixed income have been volatile, and like what Mr. Venkatesh mentioned, yes, there has been a lot of concern on the fixed income side, on the credit space also.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of flows, you know, while of course the industry, the mutual fund industry, has maintained a brave face because SIP numbers have been good throughout this rocky period. So there's no taking away from the fact that the flows coming into equity funds, the pure equity number, that has steadily dwindled over the last 3-4 months. Does that concern you? What reason do you attribute to this? And this is happening at a time when the market is at all-time high. So should we consider that the investor has gotten smart and he's booking profits? Or what should we read into this?
I would say that this phenomenon is not peculiar to this year. Whenever the markets are at a high, you will actually see the investors taking the profits off the table by actually redeeming the investments in the equity space in the mutual fund industry. So I think this is nothing new, that the same phenomena is getting repeated. But at the same time, I would also say that maybe they are seeing the market highs going up and up every now and then. So they are waiting on the, some of them are waiting on the sidelines to see whether I should enter at this particular point of time because the market is at an all-time high. But the flows in the SIP, which is a totally different ball game, in the sense that at least around 8,000 crore right from the beginning of the year to till now, it's at around 8,200 and odd crores, 8,400 crores is what we are seeing the numbers. I think that that is a good thing to have, which shows that some of the investors, especially the retail investors, are not trying to time the market.
Okay. Well, let's talk equity first before we talk about all the changes with fixed income. That's going to take some more time. On equity, Nimish, I think as we now look at the new year, a lot of people are now sitting on the fence. As you said, one is wondering is if this is the time to take risk, because mid-cap funds, small-cap funds have not done well last 2 years, almost 3 years. So a lot of people want to know whether this is the time you should, you know, switch your allocation a little bit from the safety of large caps to mid-caps. What are you advising clients?
So I think what remains fundamental is in terms of the search for quality. And quality always kind of, you know, comes at a price. So both in large cap and mid caps. But the you know, the carnage that we have seen in the mid caps and especially small caps in September 2018 actually gives a lot of space for valuation, you know, buying good value buy as far as mid cap and small caps are concerned. So from that perspective, yes, if you can take the risk of getting into small caps and mid caps, this is the time. And large caps are definitely going to continue, you know, because money will first flow to quality and then kind of trickle down to the mid and small cap sector. So we are seeing that, yes, you know, we could look at, you know, very selective options on a bottom-up approach on small and mid-cap stocks going to going forward.
So, so if I were to ask you funds for 2020, equity funds for 2020, what would top your list?
So, you know, we would kind of right now recommend more of multi-cap funds. And focus on also a lot of opportunities which are available on the mid and small cap. There are very good quality fund managers in the industry who specialize in small and mid cap.
Anyone you like? And these are not recommendations. These are just some ideas that, are being tossed on the table.
So I would not like to take specific names. But there are very, and even on the AIF platform and on the PMS platform, there are a lot of options available on the you know, mid cap and small cap space, which one should look at.
Now, sir, I'm going to get back to the point that you made. All these changes that SEBI finally made, has it made fixed income funds safer? Because what people realized was that A, your capital isn't necessarily protected. Fixed maturity plans may not necessarily be fixed. So there were a lot of lessons to be learned in the year gone by.
I would say that those are all aberrations. It's not as if it's an order of the day where essentially the fixed maturity plans are no longer fixed. It's not like that. I would say that a lot of funds are fixed maturity plans have been unwound at the time of the fixed maturity plan. But having said that, these steps are warranted in the sense that essentially when risks are being played out because the economic growth is lower, which puts stress on the system, and essentially some defaults have occurred. So as a regulator, they have been very proactive in ensuring that they protect the investors' interest by giving all these regulatory changes of sectoral exposures, industry exposures, individual exposures, they're putting all sorts of credit risk related things. Similarly, disclosures being much more better. So I think these are the right steps which the regulator has taken. Having said that, I would say that even the fund managers would have learned a lesson as to how they do their due diligence. Maybe they need to ramp up their due diligence much more actively to ensure that they pick up those quality papers. But despite that, if a AAA defaults to D on an overnight basis, maybe nobody will be able to foresee that. That we have seen it even in the global financial crisis. We have seen it in Southeast Asian crisis. We now saw it in India as well. But I think everybody is alive to the situation at this particular point of time. So I think the mutual fund system, mutual fund industry has learned the lesson. The system has become much more safer, much more better than what it was maybe a year back.
Nimish, do you concur? I mean, and credit risk as a category, where obviously you're chasing a higher yield, is that something that makes the cut for you? Because we still have unresolved issues. For instance, we still have this, you know, litigation around DHFL and, you know, how the resolution there is going to work out, other cases where there's still stress evident.
So I think that answer actually depends on your risk-taking capability. So there are investors at this point of time who feel that, yes, you know, like what sir was mentioning, a lot of, you know, things have been, you know, brought under regulation and a lot of transparency is there. So there are investors who could look at, you know, taking a small portion, say 5 or 10% exposure to credit risk funds, because that really jump, you know, you are taking almost about a 2 to 3%, you know, higher YTM compared to what you would get in a short-term fund. So yes, definitely it is attractive, but one has to be aware of the risks as such. Parallelly, if you look at banking and PSU funds, you know, they are a good alternative, or a corporate bond fund, they are a better alternative. But again, your returns will be kind of marginally lower compared to what you can get in a credit risk fund. So it's not that they are off the table. People who can understand and take the risk, definitely they can give alpha.
Okay, fair enough. So now I want to talk about product innovation as well, because the year, at least for fixed income, did end on a bit of a high, because we saw a new product, the Bharat Bond ETF, come into the market. There, I think credit risk was not really the talking point because it was all sovereign. Purely in terms of more ideas, more products, what should we expect from the mutual fund world in 2020?
Essentially, more of passive funds should come into the picture, in the sense index related funds will happen. Maybe more new benchmark indices will be published by the rating agencies like CRISIL and ICRA and that sort of thing. And people will then try to track that and try and outperform that. So something like that maybe will happen. The second thing that we will see is more of direct investments happening instead of the regular investments coming in, direct, because the millennials are much more comfortable with the technology part. So to that much extent, they will use
and it's cheaper
direct.
As well.
And it's cheaper as well. It's cheaper as well. So I think these two are the major trends that we will see in 2020.
No, absolutely. I mean, when you have wallets and you know have payment gateways now selling mutual funds on at the touch of a mobile phone, then things could change. Nimish, what do you think is going to be perhaps the trend to watch out for, purely in terms of product offerings, market evolution, when it comes to the space?
So I think 2020 is going to be an interesting year because definitely growth is not going to come back in a hurry. Having said that, the focus will be on quality. And also from the point of view of, the opportunities which are available from, say, deglobalization. World over, we are having, this theme of, make in India or make in that particular country kind of, being a precedence. And that's where the opportunities will come in. The 15% tax, which is there on new companies, that will throw up a lot of opportunities for new companies and getting listed. So a lot of excitement, a lot of new IPOs on the anvil for 2020. Good quality companies probably are going to come to the market. Apart from that, if you look at the overall new age themes, so for example, ESG investing, right?
That's environment, social, governance. For those who've still not figured out the acronym.
Right.
But on ESG, we don't have too many funds available right now in the Indian market. Sure. How do you think this will evolve? And I always wonder when you say ESG, G as in governance, and we have so many issues around governance in any case right now.
So yeah, we are in the evolution stage as far as the concept is concerned compared to what is there in developed markets. But very consciously, especially in the millennials, they are very conscious in terms of where they are investing and what is the impact it has on the environment. So there are certain sectors like mining, tobacco, definitely detrimental to the environment. And those are the companies or those are the sectors where definitely we will see investors being careful before investing money is there.
I always ask the experts on the show where they put their own money. And that's how I'm going to end this conversation. Mr. Venkatesh, where are you putting your money in 2020?
I will definitely put my money in mutual funds. I will definitely continue to do my SIP, increase my SIP amounts, and I will definitely continue to remain invested in the mutual fund.
In fixed income and in equity,
in both sides. Fixed income and equity.
Okay, all right. Nimish, what about you?
So I'm not going to stop my SIPs, but definitely incremental money is going to go in opportunities, and that's where I'm saying both on the fixed income side and also on individual stocks in terms of where there's value available. So that's where the money is going to go.
Okay. So finally, on that note, do design a quick, rough model portfolio. I'm talking medium risk. Someone who's, in their mid to sort of early 40s, mid-30s to early 40s, a medium risk profile. How should it all be divided?
So medium risk profile definitely calls for, by rule of thumb, 50-50 allocation to debt and equity. Within equity, I think this is the time to allocate at least about 20-30% to mid and small cap sector. And the balance can be in the large cap as such. Amongst the fixed income, definitely 10-20% in credit risk funds. If you have, a medium age guy about, say, 35 to 40 years of age, he has that tenor with him. So he can take that credit risk fund exposure. And the balance, I think, would be in something like a Bharat bond and a short-term mutual fund.
Okay. All right, gentlemen. Those are some very interesting thoughts and ideas to kickstart 2020. Once again, wish you a very happy new year. May it be a wonderful one for you and your families and your associates as well. Thanks for joining in. Now, on that note, we also have to take a quick break. And of course, we wish you a fantastic new year as well. After the break, we come back and actually talk insurance. We continue our special series where we get you conversations where women are taking the lead when it comes to health insurance. That's coming up after the break. Before we take the break, an important message. We always tell you to be prudent and cautious with your investments and your savings. We tell you to do the same when you're on the road. Please do not text or use your mobile phone while driving. Follow the road signs and all the traffic laws to stay safe. Be the better guy. an initiative of Network 18 and Hyundai towards ensuring road safety in India.
That's it on this week's podcast. You can catch the show at 6:30 p.m. on Tuesdays with repeats on Saturday and Sunday mornings only on CNBC TV 18. You can also find us on the CNBC TV 18 YouTube channel. Do send your feedback, comments, queries. Catch me on Twitter. My handle is at Surabhi Upadhyay. That's S-U-R-A-B-H-I-U-P-A-D-H-Y-A-Y. Don't forget to add the hashtag money. Catch you next week.